Now this will be our last in the series of studies from the Acts of the Apostles. I received a letter from a sister this week in which she expressed her appreciation for these studies, said that she had used some of the thoughts in a ladies' Bible class. I was happy to hear that and to know that as we study the Word together, you do receive spiritual help and blessing that you can pass on to others. You remember the Apostle Paul wrote to the young man Timothy and said in 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The Spirit of God teaches us in order that we might be able to teach others. Now as we go to the last portion of Acts 28, the first thing I want you to notice is Paul's meeting with the brethren in Rome. Verse 14 says, "We found brethren, desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." The Amplified New Testament says he received new courage. There were two things that encouraged him. First, there was the fact that the word of the Lord had been fulfilled. In spite of all that had happened, in spite of all the attacks by the enemies of the gospel seeking to take his life, in spite of storms and shipwreck, at last here he is on the outskirts of the great city Rome. The word of the Lord was fulfilled. And I say there is nothing that can give a servant of the Lord more joy than to see God's word being fulfilled in his life. Permit a word of personal testimony. I don't think I will ever forget the feeling of joy that came to our hearts when we landed safely in Canada in January of 1941. The word of the Lord had come to us, calling us to leave Wales and to minister in Canada. And for a time it seemed impossible. It was wartime. And unless you had government priority, it was impossible to obtain a sailing. And then there was the constant bombing of the towns where we lived, and the loss of so many ships sunk by German submarines. But we believed the Lord had called us, and we knew that he would make a way, which he did. But oh, the joy when we finally landed in Montreal, and like Paul, there we were met by many of the brethren. And like Paul, our joy, first of all, was that the word of the Lord had been fulfilled. And then secondly, Paul had joy to see so many dear brethren coming to meet him. Paul had written his letter to the Romans possibly 3 years before he himself came to Rome. And if you read chapter 16, you will find quite a long list of brethren and sisters in the Lord to whom Paul had sent greetings. Priscilla and Aquila were there to meet him. Andronicus and Junia were there, and many others. And when Paul saw them as they met him, the Bible said he received new courage. I do thank the Lord for brethren and sisters in Christ who, when you meet them, they inspire you. They give you fresh courage to continue the ministry the Lord has called you to do. But now let me go on and notice Paul's ministry in Rome. The first thing he did, as he had done in other places, was to call the chief of the Jews together. Such was his burden for his brethren after the flesh. He tells them why he had appealed to Caesar, tells them that he had committed nothing against the people or the customs of the fathers, yet he had been delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, and they had examined him and found no cause of death in him, but would have let him go. But the Jews spoke against it, and Paul says, "I had no alternative but to appeal unto Caesar." The Jews replied and said, "We neither received letters out of Jerusalem concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of thee." Now listen. "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." You see, the gospel in its fullness was not popular then, and it's not popular now. Even today, when a servant of the Lord preaches a full gospel as Paul did, a gospel of salvation from sin, a gospel of sanctification and holiness, when he preaches that Jesus saves and sanctifies, that Jesus heals, that all believers must be filled with the Holy Ghost as they were on the day of Pentecost, that the church must have the 9 gifts of the Spirit and the 5 ministry gifts of Ephesians 4, that preacher is labeled as belonging to that sect which is everywhere spoken against. But these Jewish leaders finally made an appointment with Paul, and verse 23 says, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Now notice his ministry, as always, was a scriptural ministry. He proved it from the word, from Moses and the prophets. He always did this. Wherever he went, he preached the word. He gave instruction to Timothy. Yes, and to all who would be preachers of the gospel, preach the word. And then verse 24 says, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. But before they left, Paul had a word for them. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and not perceive, for their heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of understanding, and their eyes have been closed. Oh, the tragedy of religious tradition that brings spiritual blindness, causes men to be deaf to the voice of the Spirit. I don't know of anything more difficult than to deal with a person who's been steeped in religious tradition and does not see their need. Nothing can blind the eyes or deafen the ears like religious tradition. Be it known unto you, therefore, says Paul, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now this principle is repeated over and over again in the history of the church. Wherever there has been a moving of the Spirit, wherever there has been new truth revealed, the people who have fought it most bitterly have been those steeped in religious tradition. When God moved in Wales and gave a mighty revival under the ministry of Evan Roberts, there was great opposition from many of the churches for someone who'd been a drunkard or a gambler to get up in a meeting and say he knew he was saved. Why, said many of the religious leaders, we've been in church all our lives and we can't say that. The same thing happened later when God began to pour out His Spirit. Men and women were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues and prophesied. The greatest opposition came from many so-called fundamental religious people. And now, in this end-time revival, when the Lord is restoring the gifts of the Spirit and the 5 ministries to the church, preparing the church for His glorious appearing, there are those who are bound by fundamental tradition, whose eyes are closed to further light and whose ears are stopped so that they cannot hear the voice of the Spirit. But in spite of the opposition, it says in the closing verses of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul knew that the gospel which he preached was not after men. He received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. It was founded upon the Scriptures. He knew it was God's word. And so with all confidence, he preached to all that came to him. And my prayer is that the Lord will help us too, on this broadcast, in the temple, Sunday after Sunday, to be faithful to declare the whole counsel of God as we are led by the Spirit. I trust that these studies in the Acts of the Apostles will have been a blessing to all of you. If they have been, just write and tell us.